God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created this world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He could have done any of that. He could have just created it. Instead, God spoke, and he said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, and we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and it is 9/11. There are two 9/11s. Well, there's multiple 9/11s in reality. There's, of course, the 9/11 that happened in New York and D.C. and Pennsylvania. There's the 9/11 that happened in Benghazi. And there's a 9/11 in planning right now. An attack of that style. And as we go through news like this and speculation like this, I want to just always remind us that we are visitors here of this world. We're to be great stewards of this world God has given us. We must never live in fear. We must never fear those who can harm the body when their only entity we should fear is God himself. It's hard to do that sometimes, though, when you're someone like me who's paid to read the news and to understand how truly ill-prepared we are. And we are ill-prepared. I spend a bit of time around retired military, a lot of them special forces, and they agree with me that our military is being mentally, and I would regard it as spiritually gutted. Now, that's a pessimistic view. On this 9/11, we remember, at least I hope you do, the people who ran towards the falling buildings, into them. Of course, that's almost axiomatic. We're required to do that emotionally, I think morally. And I'd ask as well that we remember that we all have movies that run time and again in our minds. Movies of that day. Ours are different from the people who ran into those buildings. Ours are different from the few survivors. I think it was a total of, 14 people who survived being in the towers after they fell, survived. Their movies are different than ours. The people who still suffer PTSD, their movies are different. In Benghazi, Libya, men and women were told, stand down. You may not go do what you're trained to do to rescue the people you love. You may not, at this point, be willing to lay down your life for your brother or your sister because politics is vitally important. We can't have a political mishap. To the people who did go respond, their lives changed. All of ours did. A friend of mine is a retired Navy SEAL. His name is Tim Cruikshank. And the first time Tim heard about 9/11, he was in a hospital room, San Diego, California. His wife was holding their first child, just born, just beginning to breastfeed that baby. And that's when they turned the TV on. Saw the attacks. His dear wife, Liz, said to him, "You're going to work, aren't you?" "Yeah, baby, I'm going to work." This was an era where men left for work months at a time. A friend of mine has become a dear friend, and her husband, a very good friend, and they're a military couple. And my friend got used to her husband sending her a note saying, "Going to work, babe, it's going to be a couple weeks." Yeah, he worked far behind the lines. So we're going to go on a bit of a mixed tour. What's happening today, what happened yesterday, building up into a segment on where I think we're most vulnerable and to whom. So in this first segment, I'll tell you that I'm going to do a little bit of a trick. It's a radio tease. But it's purposeful because it's to set up this particular first segment of Disciples View. I spoke with my friend, Mike O'Rourke, retired member of U.S. Special Forces. He remembers 9/11.
When 9/11 was happening in New York and in D.C., I was actually sitting in Okinawa, Japan, going through a typhoon. And this was probably at 11 o'clock at night, and actually watching the electricity was still on. We were actually watching U.S. morning shows, and started seeing it happening live. And I was actually chatting with a friend of mine online in Australia. And when the second plane hit the other tower, I immediately told my friend, my country just went to war. And I was in a special forces unit in Okinawa, one that was charged with basically responding to emergencies, you know, in our area of the world. And we figured we'd be going pretty quick. But we watched it happen. And everybody in the special forces community immediately knew that the country was under attack. And when folks started going to Afghanistan, it was actually a former teammate of mine who was the first military member killed in action in Afghanistan.
Oh, Mike, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's it brings back a lot of memories, and it's definitely shaped my life and the life of everyone else in the special operations community since.
Not a man who's seen Mike become emotional, but during that interview, my friend was having tears in his eyes. You can hear that entire interview at thetoddhermanshow.com. We're going to bring Mike on in the next segment. I want you to hear some of the things he warns us about. Chinese nationals, and please, and Mike makes this point, clearly, Chinese people are not our enemy. First of all, flesh and blood is not our enemy. Secondly, no one race of people will ever be our enemy. Not if we're truly walking in the spirit. But Chinese nationals have been probing our military bases, up to and including gate crashing, driving up to the gates at high speed to see what will happen. He'll talk about that, because I don't believe we're prepared. How can we be? And we'll play the audio of this later in the show. The new dictator of the state of New Mexico, the governor there has decided to just officially become a dictator. Governor Lujan Grisham announced that a drive-by shooting is a public health crisis. Therefore, she's banning the carrying of guns, even for people who are, you know, so-called licensed. Not that you need a license for the First Amendment. Don't know why you need one for the Second. You could go after the cartels. They're the ones who are bringing the sex trafficking and much of the drug trafficking into the country. They're the ones who set up shop in Albuquerque. And yes, the citizens of Albuquerque should have safety. And peeling away the guns of legal gun owners who are peaceful people is not going to provide that. But that open border, that's a decision. Gun owners are protesting this. They're doing open carry, and they've had protests over the weekend. Many long arms present, and guess what? No one was shot, thank God, and no one was going to be. There was a protester who showed up. He was adverse to these gun owners. He was wearing a mask and protesting their statements, and you know what those fascist gun owners did? They invited the man on stage to say his piece, because the speaker on stage said, "This is America, we have free speech, do we?" There are those in government who would argue with that. So how prepared are we to be united as a nation? How prepared are our leaders to actually look at what the physical enemies are? Not the spiritual, because most of them do not acknowledge the spiritual sphere. But of the physical, if shutting down legal citizens' rights to carry is your idea of defending America, then I have to say, you really don't understand what a defense means. On the topic of these Democrats, on the topic of this view, of this all top-down, state-down view, on the topic of Biden and the Democrat Party, the media in Australia will say what most in the U.S. Mockingbird media cannot.
Whispers have been growing that the guy really pulling the strings is Barack Obama. Now, observers have noted that for some time, the former president has been acting behind the scenes like, well, a bit of a string puller. For one thing, he was able to put his people into the executive branch because, as they say in Washington, personnel is policy. And as a result, the Biden administration is still, quite consciously and by design, loaded with Obama appointees. Many people have called it a third Obama term. More than 60% of Biden's original official cabinet were Obama appointees. And indeed, the whispers around the idea that Barack Obama is basically running the show grew even louder when this happened last year. Barack Obama showed up at the White House. Everyone fawned over him. And the president, the actual de jure president, if not the de facto one, well, he looked lost. Again, it's circumstantial evidence, but it points to where the real center of power is. Because, never forget, Barack Obama has always been quite open about the idea that he could run the show, have a de facto third term, if only they could find the right guy to be the front man.
And have they found the right guy? Why do we ask on 9/11? What is the policy of our military? What is its focus? Well, part of it, of course, is merchandising critical race theory and racially divisive politics into what is supposed to be a combined fighting force. In other words, destroying troop cohesion. And there's more. Oh, the thing Obama said? Yeah. Do you remember this? This is the statement the host was referencing, Barack Obama with Stephen Colbert.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
I guess you would be. What are our policies about America's enemies? Well, seems to be to let them in. Seems to be to weld the gates open. The opposite of securing what people call the homeland, which is a phrase I dislike. That actually seems fascist to me. We are the United States of America. Maybe it's because I consider my home to be in the new heaven and the new earth with the Lord Jesus. But then again, I'm just recently discipled, just recently understanding what it is to be submitted to God. I've always disliked that phrase, homeland. What about you? It doesn't seem very American. What is our policy militarily? Division, discord. Oh, then there's this, of course. If it is Obama who's running things, and I think it is, so what is the Obama-run White House's focus with the U.S. almost certainly facing another attack? It's this in this soundbreak about the Biden administration announcing it's pledging to contribute $520 million to Ukraine for what? Green energy. Green energy. It's not enough that we've taken on their entire battle. Now we need to use your money, $520 million, for green energy in Ukraine. That's the focus. Jack Carr is a retired Navy SEAL, and he absolutely echoes a lot of what I've been told by my friends. Talks about the disastrous withdrawal from U.S. forces out of Afghanistan. He says he thinks of the flag officer who years after year, for close to two decades, went before Congress, the American people, and their troops to say time and again, we were making progress. We needed just a little more time, additional resources, or increased funding to capitalize on our hard-earned gains and those of the Afghan people. Says these are the same leaders who for 20 years lied to us. Have any been held to account? And the answer is no. He encourages us to look at the policymakers with all the medals on their chests, but making no progress and having no accountability. Jack Carr knows what he's talking about. His statement is worth reading in whole. You can find it at Fox News or on Jack's website. When we come back, my friend Mike O'Rourke, retired Special Forces, an expert on the Chinese Communist Party and what they want to do with and to America, you'll hear his words of warning. For us as individuals and as business owners and as a country, this is The Disciples' View. My name is Todd Herman. appreciate you listening to Disciples View with Todd Herman. That's me on this 9/11. We ended the last segment with a little bit of a recollection of my friend Michael Rourke. His memory of 9/11, which will be different than a lot of ours. If you serve the country in the military, first responder role, the book in your mind or the movie in your mind about 9/11, it's a different movie than the one we watch. We watched you do things. We watched you as you stood willing to give your life for a brother. No greater love has man than to lay down his life for a brother. We watched you do that. A very small number of us were held in your arms. And an exceedingly small number of us know what it's like to be held in your arms and carried out of a building. I don't know what that's like. I know I've met people. I don't know people, but I've met people who were rescued from, you know, near 9/11. Only a couple people survived the actual towers falling, but I've met a man who survived, who was just about killed by pieces of airplanes hitting him. I've met people who just about died from being, you know, asphyxiated by the dust, and another person who just about was hit by a falling body. And as we remember this, I just want to recognize that those of you who fulfilled the role of first responder, the movies in your mind are different. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, if those movies in your mind won't stop, and they're keeping you up and they're causing you pain, I would just let you know that we pray for you and that God is capable of taking that from you. The Lord Jesus is happy to take that from you. And you can turn to him. And there are Christian counselors who will help you, therapists who will help you unload that. Because sometimes we have to be taught how to give things to God. And when we talked to Michael Rourke, we played this this clip of my discussion I had with Mike. This entire interview is at thetoddhermanshow.com. It's part of my podcast, which is 2.5 hours of new material every single weekday. You could also just go to iTunes or Spotify, whatever podcasting app you use or site, and search for The Todd Herman Show. I'm the guy with the big white beard, look like a mountain man kind of guy, and a weird tie on the lake. So you can hear this entire interview. I asked Mike, who's retired Special Forces, I asked him about the state of readiness in our country today, and I view with alarm the fact that people, and please, let's all remember that, A, flesh and blood are not our enemy. The enemy are the spirits and principalities operating in the dark realms. The enemy is the enemy, Satan. And to be certain, there's no one race of people that's our enemy at all, never will be. And I talked to Mike about, in this post 9/11 era, how insane is it that we have members, we have the Chinese Communist Party sending people in to probe our military bases. And we talk about this on 9/11 because I don't want the next attack to happen that way.
I think it's been like probably around 100 or more incidents over the last few years. They're probing our bases. And these aren't necessarily Ministry of State Security or MSS agents. A lot of times, you know, they'll co-opt, you know, other Chinese nationals, say, you need to do this for us, or, you know, something bad might happen to your family back here. Gate crashing, just trying to drive onto the bases, seeing the reaction. But if they can get on the base and have some unfettered access, they have the capability of leaving stay behind devices that can, you know, like hoover up communications, signals, intelligence. Among the bases where this happens has been up in Alaska, where we have the 11th Airborne Division. We have our most sophisticated fighters, the F-22 and F-35, are up there. And the Arctic is a very important defense area. And, you know, they've been to White Sands Missile Base, you know, trying to get on there. So, yeah, it's they're basically throwing everything they can at us, you know, across the full spectrum of, you know, hybrid warfare, you know, short of actual kinetic strikes.
Kinetic strikes being physical strikes against us. We did address that. If that's coming, are there attack cells here? And Mike is an expert on Asia. His company, AOC Security, does a lot of business in helping people migrate that. and understand that China, the Chinese Communist Party, companies there are, it's one and the same. A company and Chinese Communist Party. I asked him why. And I guess the obvious answer is they're our enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, not the Chinese people. But why are they doing this at this time?
They want to be the world's dominant superpower economically and militarily. And they're willing to break all the rules to achieve that aim. You know, imagine having a force for evil, as it were, being able to call most of the shots in the world. They already have veto power on the UN Security Council. They would just be compromising democratic institutions around the world. I wouldn't be surprised if they're funneling money to a lot of like anti-American groups in the U.S. and abroad. So they're trying to spread their influence.
And they are doing this. I mean, we know, of course, about them buying off American universities to gain access to our research, and then in turn to teach college kids about the great virtues of the Chinese communist system. So we know we're doing that. We know that the Chinese Communist Party is unbelievably ungodly. And in fact, I would refer to them as not the Antichrist, obviously, but Antichrist, anti-Christian. And they're using Hitler's trick of having Chinese Communist Party blessed Christian churches where people can go abuse themselves of the notion that they are being Christian or be conned into that. And then at the same time, and praise God for this, the underground church in China is phenomenal. The word of God, Christ's word, is not going to be stomped out. It cannot be erased. It's not going away. And God's word never returned void. And the bravery of the underground church movement in China, in a country where they will put you into a political prison and then and sell your organs one by one until you can't function anymore and you die. And if you're serving the Lord Jesus, well, then you go to reward. This will make it fun. Now, I asked Mike O'Rourke this, again, he's a former Special Forces expert in Asia, expert on the Chinese Communist Party. That was his focus in Special Forces, was Asia. I asked him about my belief that these military bases are just part of the puzzle, that military bases aren't islands. They function in an American system and are reliant upon American businesses. And aren't they one and the same to the Chinese Communist Party?
Being able to copy the technology, shipping examples back home to China so they can be replicated. And it's not just defense technology. They have the Made in China 2025 plan, which came out, I want to say, around 2015, somewhere in there, where they're looking at all kinds of industries. I mean, they want advanced farm equipment, learn how to make that themselves, transportation sector, shipping, all kinds of sectors, not necessarily defense related, because they're trying to bring their manufacturing base in-house and make it world class so they can benefit their own society. So it's across pretty much all industries, all sectors. It's, you know, basically they want it all, and no business is safe.
The fact is, they don't care what business you're in. They care about the businesses you do business with. And yes, they want to steal the technology, and they're doing this actively. Now, the part of this that gets a lot of attention, and rightly so, is attacks on our infrastructure. Some people are not aware of the fact that our infrastructure has been attacked in incredible ways, like going in and shooting at substations. And by some measures, and I have a listener to my podcast who disagrees with this, but by some measures, the 9 substations we have for electrical power, if you take out one, it takes down the country's power across the country for 18 months. Why? Because we don't have backup parts, believe it or not, for a lot of this infrastructure. I asked Mike about attacks on our infrastructure.
I was on a webinar earlier this year hosted by people in the electric industry, the power of the critical infrastructure folks, talking about some of the attacks that have already taken place. I mean, and they've gotten more, even the kinetic attacks, some of them have gotten more sophisticated, including using 50 caliber ammunition, the heavy machine gun rounds, but, you know, that are also available in some rifles have been used to take out infrastructure. I looked at the Department of Energy's stats a few weeks ago on the number of attacks, basically human involved incidents on the electric grid. And they're pretty significant. And I think the number is going to be higher this year, probably, than in previous years. China doing something would probably in the electric grid, I think, would be more, again, in the cyber realm, which is probably more effective, more bang for the buck than sending people out there with, you know, rifles or other equipment to try to kinetically take out the electric grid.
And they've been amping those attacks up into using 50 caliber rounds on the kinetic side. And Mike's point about the coding is well taken. Using computers to take this down. You'll remember that in upstate New York, someone took control of the dam that could have flooded an entire town and taken people out, not just infrastructure, but human lives immediately. So the fact that we're all focused on Ukraine, and making sure that they're the 51st state, you think China's not using this for cover? They are, and we're talking about this on 9/11 because the next attack is being planned. We know this. Because our adversaries play the long game. So that there's not a big focus on this, and this is not being talked about, is bizarre to me, except it's not. Politicians don't want focus on this. They don't want us to understand the degree to which we've been compromised. And I will tell you, I've learned so much over the past 2 years of doing independent media. I had a retired lieutenant general tell me face-to-face, I was looking in his eyes as he said it, that our country has been compromised by the Chinese Communist Party up into the Pentagon and the White House. I asked him, are we compromised as high as the White House and the Pentagon? And he looked at me and said, the answer is yes. No bones about it. I asked Mike O'Rourke, retired Special Forces. He's boss of a company called Advanced Operational Concepts. Unfortunately, he named it AOC. AOC security, long before anyone knew that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez existed. And I asked him about the form of attacks that the Chinese Communist Party is instituting on businesses that might be businesses like yours.
Well, they have to understand that just because they may not be directly related to the defense industry, or maybe not even part of defense at all, even if they don't have dual use technology, they can still be targeted because what they have still might be something China needs, China wants. So they need to understand, you know, what their secret sauce is as far as what makes their business special. A lot of businesses will have at least 65% of their value or more tied up in their intellectual property, in their patents, you know, things that make their business successful. Well, these guys want it in order to make their country more successful. Think, you know, I said transportation industry, railroad technology, you know, there are companies out there who build things that build equipment that maintain our rail infrastructure. China would love to be able to build that over there. You have businesses that have gone into joint ventures in China, not realizing everything that that brings, that they're pretty much turning over a lot of their intellectual property and the way to make things. And then all of a sudden their partner suddenly drops that partnership and it opens a new company and starts producing that. And they've got financial backing from the CCP. The business need to know what secrets they have before they know how to protect them. And they need to look at, you know, basically look inside themselves, say, what's important here? We got to make sure we hang on to it, compartmentalizing their operations.
One of the things that Mike shared with me that's the retired Special Forces special expertise on Asia and the Chinese Communist Party, one of the things they want is your employees. And they will co-opt your employees. They'll bribe them. They will catch them in compromising circumstances, the oldest spy trick in the world. And what they would really love is to get into family companies by way of compromising some of the young people in the family. So it doesn't have to be young people, that sometimes they're easier to compromise. They have less refined, you know, principles. And there's ways to protect ourselves in this and businesses. And Mike went into that just a little bit.
The business need to know what secrets they have before they know how to protect them. And they need to look at, you know, basically look inside themselves, say, what's important here? We got to make sure we hang on to it, compartmentalizing their operations.
And the compartmentalization of operations is key within a company, any company that has any contact with the Chinese Communist Party. And understand that if you do business in China, you have contact with the Chinese Communist Party. if you serve the military in any way, you have contact with the Chinese Communist Party. They know who you are. And it's one thing to talk about compromised businesses and compromised infrastructure. It's another thing to talk about compromised spirituality and compromised morals. This goes away from the 9/11 focus, from the kinetic warfare, from the idea of hacking us as warfare. And it gets down into, of course, the ultimate warfare, which is the warfare of the mind and the soul. The Chinese Communist Party is already attacking us. They are pushing gender ideology into this country. The New York Times fell backward into admitting this. They wrote a very long piece about this, and it's a very good piece, but the New York Times somehow doesn't recognize their role in pushing Chinese Party propaganda, Chinese Communist Party propaganda, that men are women or women are men. They're pushing that. They're pushing critical race theory into this country, and somehow our military is pushing it into our military. And there's nothing more frightening I heard from talking with Mike O'Rourke, retired Special Forces, than when I asked him about troop morale in light of what the Chinese Communist Party has succeeded in doing at the highest levels of the Pentagon and the White House. Mike told me that in his entire career in the military and now in private security, he's never seen morale lower. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman with the Tower of Babbling. God shaming the wise using simple things. So appreciate you listening to Disciples View with Todd Herman. Hey, tomorrow, I can't wait to talk with you about this. I've just had, and this has ever happened to you, you have kind of unfolding spiritual awakenings as God reveals more to you, and the depths of God's word and his plan, the breadth of that just becomes more clear to you. It has hit me in the most remarkable way that it's just this other way that the Lord Jesus is changing me and the Holy Spirit. I have just been blessed with a zeal for the new earth and the new heaven. And that's not something I ever sought to imagine, because how can we? But I woke the other day with God's word on my mind. And when those days have happened to me, it's only twice. And I mean, literally scripture, my eyes open in scripture is in my mind. You make all things new. And it led me into researching a series of lectures and essays, and of course, the Word of God, on the new earth. And since then, my view of this earth has changed in a remarkable way. And I will share this tomorrow, because if I do this now, we won't complete the program as it's outlined. And gosh forbid we depart an outline of a program. That's almost illegal. But I want to just share just one glimpse for this with you. Is I'm a fitness fanatic. And we did a workout the other day that involved myself and my friend Kevin doing what's called a you go, I go workout. So he does it, I do it. And while one partner is swimming 140 meters, the other partner planks on the beach. So that's about a 2-minute plank. Then the swimming partner comes up. The planking partner rests. The swimming partner does 15 push-ups and then 30 air squats on the beach. And we did 20 rounds of that. So it's about 1,400 meters. It's about 150 push-ups, 300 air squats for us. I didn't feel any of it. I didn't feel even a hint of it. I wasn't breathing hard in the water. I looked later and my heart rate was up to 180. But I didn't feel it, because the entire time in the lake, I was praising God for this earth and imagining what the new earth will be like. So I'll share more of this with you tomorrow. And I do believe that as we look at some of the, we're not to call people fools. That is reserved for God's use, because fool can mean useless person. God gets to make that decision, and only God. But misguided, spiritually captured, not intellectually gifted, okay. I believe God places the supposed wise on towers of sand so he, the Lord, can remind us that he uses the simple things to shame the wise.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three stories, relatively quick. In the Tower Babbling today, the dictator of New Mexico has chosen to misunderstand the word oath.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights? I took an oath to uphold those two. And if we ignore this growing problem without being bold, I've said to every other New Mexican, your rights are subrogated to theirs. And they are not, in my view.
Wait a minute, okay. You're talking about crimes. There are already laws against the crimes, so how are their rights?
I got it. But again, if I'm unsafe, who's standing up for that right? If this climate is so out of control, somebody should do something. I'm doing as much as I know to do.
Well, you're doing nothing. You've changed nothing. What you've done in this first story of the Tower Babbling is you have told criminals, stop it. Really, still, no, seriously, this time, super stop it. Super duper stop it. You've done nothing to engage the law-abiding citizens who are armed, who could in fact go into the schools, some of them extraordinarily well-trained to defend the schools, if in fact that's the step. I think the step is, inspired by the last segment, to kick the cartels out of the country. Because it is the cartels who've set up business and hire young people as enforcers and drug traffickers. But that's not a step you're willing to take, because they fight back. And yet that's the step that needs to be taken. Oh, and on the topic of no constitutional right is absolute, does that include the right to vote? Can you suspend that during a made-up emergency? That's interesting. Second story in the Tower of Babbling. The entertainers on the television program The View want open borders. But my goodness, not on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan.
It puts tremendous stress on a city, on a community, on the social services. They need to be resettled elsewhere.
They need to be spread out. This is a massive country.
And it's only going to get worse with global warming and climate change because people can't live in certain parts of this world.
Right. And they did go on. And I think we missed that in the clip. And probably my fault that they did go on to say, they need to go elsewhere. They can't come here. This is New York City. It's beautiful here. Send them to Texas. There is a measure that the people who run Joe Biden are considering. They want to pass a diktat. I should say you don't pass diktats. You sign them. By the way, diktat, it's after the Russian construction. To dictate a diktat. To demand that illegal immigrants stay in Texas. Hey. You know what? There used to be a law called Remain in Mexico. It's just moved north. Could it be that the Democrats aren't lazy about the border, but they are obsessed with it being open? Could it be? It is. It is. Last one, number three, in the Tower of Babbling. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who has been selling out family farms in South Dakota, pretends that Ron DeSantis never woke up about the fraud that is Fauci.
I haven't seen these other candidates fight when it really mattered, when it was hard to do the right thing for our country. Now, some of them talk pretty tough, but where were they when the pandemic was raging? When leaders were taking away people's constitutional rights, Because the government told folks that they couldn't gather together, people lost their freedom of assembly. Because the government told people they couldn't go to church, people lost their freedom of religion. Because government censored what information could be shared and what couldn't, people lost their freedom of speech. Where were these candidates then? They were silent. They were cowering. Or worse yet, they were locking down their own people. They were pushing mandates. They were closing beaches, even arresting people for taking a spring break. Now, yes, I will be attacked for speaking the truth to all of you tonight. And yes, I expect that Joe Biden, these candidates, their political operatives, and the media will perpetuate ugly, hateful misinformation in an attempt to destroy me and my family because of our opinions. It's nothing new, and frankly, I'm getting pretty used to it.
So Kristi Noem, beautiful words, and filled with absolute lies. Every word that left her mouth was a lie. And Kristi Noem is a liar. And there's been a victory against her lies. I'll tell you about here in a second. She was, at that point, endorsing President Trump. I will vote for President Trump in half a heartbeat. I will vote for Ron DeSantis in half a heartbeat. I will not vote for Kristi Noem until there's a series of changes in her. President Trump was rolled by Tony Fauci, and I understand why. Fauci lied and said 30% of Americans were going to die. He rolled the president. President Trump's beginning to figure this out. He's made some changes. Kristi Noem did great on COVID. She punted as a coward on gender ideology. And she has been selling out family farms. We'll talk about that in a second. Ron DeSantis absolutely followed the Fauci lies for a period of time and then turned around and began opening his state. And as a guy who voted for President Trump in half a heartbeat, I will remind everybody that on one of his last days in office, President Trump gave the man who destroyed his presidency a presidential commendation. That man was Tony Fauci. There are a few things politicians won't say to maintain power. There has been an assault on family farms in South Dakota by China-led, Korean-led companies, in fact, invested in by people like Bono, the lead singer of U2, Reid Hoffman, the guy who started LinkedIn, and others, Steve Jobs' widow, I can't remember her name, billions upon billions of dollars to seize family farms in order to build a carbon dioxide pipeline for use for people like Bill Gates, for his factories to make fake meat, fake food. That's been defeated, but not with the help of Kristi Noem. She was talking about politicians being silent. She said there was nothing she could do to stop it. So brave state reps like Brandi Schaefbauer in South Dakota and others fought this. It's been defeated, but at the Public Utilities Commission, a series of bureaucrats did the right thing and defeated the effort to steal that state land, but they'll be back. So Kristi Noem was babbling. Those are the three stories in the Tower of Babbling. On this 9/11, we focused so much on what happens next. We talked with Michael Rourke about that. Where could the attacks come from? He reminisced a little bit about what it was like for him on that day. We all have our separate films of that day. This is a post on Twitter. This is the very best of social media. Social media can be so good. It can be so important, and particularly to see what is it that just average, ordinary people choose to remember about 9/11. This is a guy named Spike Cohen. He's got a lot of followers. President of YAPT, official vice presidential bronze medalist, 2020 bronze medalist. He runs a picture of a man speaking into a bullhorn. He's wearing a suit coat, button-up shirt. He writes, "This man is Rick Rescorla. 22 years ago today, Rick disobeyed orders. In disobeying orders, he saved 2,700 lives. Rick was the head of security for Morgan Stanley in the South Tower of the World Trade Center. He warned that the tower's basements were vulnerable to attack. His warnings fell on deaf ears. Then the 1993 attack happened and people started listening to him. After that attack, Rick implemented regular evacuation drills, using his megaphone to direct the thousands of employees out of their offices, down the stairwells, and out of the building to safety. Born in Cornwall, Rick would sing Welsh and Cornish songs from his megaphone as he directed the employees out of the building. He would routinely tell all the employees, in an emergency, no matter what chaos is happening around you, no matter what anyone tells you, leave your offices, go down the stairwells, and leave the building. Rick told his wife, Susan, that he suspected another attack on the World Trade Center would happen, this time by air. And 22 years ago today, on September 11, 2001, that attack happened. When the first plane hit the North Tower, the Port Authority announced over the South Tower speaker system, please do not leave the building. This area is secure. Rick ignored them. The dumb blanks told me not to evacuate, he said to his best friend, Dan. They said it's just building one. I told them I'm getting my people, the blank, out of here. And so Rick picked up his megaphone, as he'd done so many times before, told his employees not to listen to the orders, directed them out of the building. His corner songs helped keep their nerves calm as they evacuated, even after the second plane hit their tower. Once he'd successfully evacuated his employees, Rick went back to look for survivors. First, he called his wife, Susan. Stop crying. I have to get these people out safely. If something should happen to me, I want you to know I've never been happier. You made my life. Rick rushed back to the South Tower. That was the last time anyone saw him alive. All but six of the more than 2,700 Morgan Stanley employees survived. Had they obeyed the Port Authority, they would have all been dead. Thankfully, they listened to Rick instead. Rest in peace, Rick Riscola. God keep you. As you listen to that, remember our discussions about Maui. The people who obeyed the authorities and turned back towards the fire largely died. And no greater love has man than to lay down his life for his brothers and sisters. God plants in us senses, sense of fear, sense of who to trust. Let's measure all things through him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. So until we speak again, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.